Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Steve at the Wilton Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, this midweek day. A lot of busy and crazy things are happening perhaps in your life and certainly in our country with the election certification, also with the struggle with COVID and the different restrictions and just trying to keep things moving forward. So I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we pray, can you guess what location I appear to be in? And then at the end of the message, I'll share with you where I appear to be. And so go ahead, use the comments and write in there, where do you think I'm at? Now, what is it that helps you with watching and participating in our midweek service online? What helps you? Maybe add some of those comments as well. Let me give you some ideas before we begin. Now, we begin at 6:30, and this is coming across as a premiere. So as soon as it's done, you can rewatch it from what I understand, what I've done. But if you know it starts at 6:30, then just like when we would have in-person church, you would plan ahead. You would get the kids ready. You would leave on time. So instead of leaving on time and getting things ready like that, get ready for watching on your little device or on your computer. Some of you watch on a big screen. I think it's harder for you to comment if you're watching on a big screen. But I encourage you that if you don't schedule it and if you don't plan on it, then your family won't sit and watch and participate and pray together and listen unless you plan on it. So if you're eating dinner at 5, 5:30, maybe even 6, and you hurry through, you could do the dishes later, I guess. You could turn it on at 6:30. You get some homework done before, maybe some homework done after. These messages are intended to be around 30 minutes, but I encourage you schedule it to get it done, and then stop everything. Turn everything else off. You know, hey, let's stop the homework now. Let's turn off the television. Let's tune down the tunes and let's focus on this. Otherwise, it won't get done. And my non-COVID cough, I understand some people are having folks to their house to watch and to pray together. That's the church scattered. And so wherever you're at, if you can encourage someone to watch with you in your own little bubble, that would be awesome as well. But again, it has to be scheduled. And so after the service here, we'll have some DNA discussion and application and take some time to pray with whoever you are with. All right, we're in Ecclesiastes, and before we begin, let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for you being our God, and certainly we need you in these tumultuous days. We pray that as we look at this passage in Ecclesiastes, that you would give us your wisdom, because we are living in crazy times, and we need to know what is important to you and how we can evaluate our own lives. So I pray for grace and strength and courage to every Christian who's watching. And for everyone who's tuned in, Lord, we thank you. And all those watching the replay, we rejoice for this. We pray that we'd be built up and edified and encouraged to keep going in these difficult and crazy times that we're living in. And so bless now this message, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so name the location. Where does it appear I am at in this film here, in this message? I'd like to bring this message to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. These are wise words for crazy times. That's the new series that we're starting out, kicking off here today on the first midweek of the new year. And this is the classroom of wisdom. The classroom of wisdom. Now, in your Bible, let's go ahead and find Ecclesiastes. So right after Psalms, Proverbs, there's Ecclesiastes, and then there's the Song of Solomon. So Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look primarily at the first three verses. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What profit, he says, what does he gain if he gains everything that there is to gain? Well, here's the preacher. A preacher must have an audience. The word indicates that even. A preacher must have an audience in order to be a preacher. Ecclesiastes, the name Ecclesiastes means the preacher. We get the word for church, ecclesiastical, or ecclesiastic comes from this word as well. So a preacher with an audience. The church congregation, ecclesiology, is the church that's gathered and a church that has someone addressing them in an audience-type fashion. So Ecclesiastes, the word, Hebrew word, means one who conveys and speaks at an assembly. An ecclesiastic or a preacher. So I suppose, since I'm preaching to you right now, I would be an ecclesiastic. He's not a lunatic, he's an ecclesiastic. And that's what the preachers really are. And they are addressing those who have assembled to hear the wisdom of God. That's what Ecclesiastes is all about. Now, I love it. It's one of the poetry passages and sections of Scripture. You have the wisdom of Psalms and Proverbs, Proverbs wisdom and Ecclesiastes. These are wisdom passages. And then you throw in the book of James, we get the wisdom of God, how to live in daily life. Now, Solomon apparently is delivering this message. He speaks it and it's written down. He is speaking to the wise men in Israel. And he's the wisest man who's ever lived. And yet, he would still have people that were considered wise men that would be consultants. David had consultants. He had wise men that he sought out. So the idea of a preacher, he has to have an audience. So apparently, there's some wise men, wise people who are listening to what Solomon is saying when these were dictated and written down for us today. So he's speaking to the wise men in Israel. He is philosophizing about the brevity and the meaning and the value of life. Oh, and there's so much thought that goes into what he is saying and what God tells us to consider. And there's such irony in life. There's so much contrast in life. And there's some things that are just beyond our understanding. And we find some encouragement about what really is valuable and meaningful in life, what is important to God. Now, Solomon is speaking to these wise men. So Pharaoh in Egypt, remember him? He asked and had a group of wise men. The Israeli leaders, they would ask of their wise men, what should we do? Jeremiah 18:18 is an example of that. There's Darius, Nebuchadnezzar, and Cyrus. These all asked for wise men. And you think about King Herod, who did he consult? He had some wise men. In addition to the wise men who traveled, he consulted his wise men about when Christ and where Christ would be born. And so good counsel is hard to find. In these interesting days that we're living in, it's really hard to find truth and Bible-accurate common sense. It's hard to find someone who will actually give you good advice and real wisdom to live by. But God gives us real wisdom for us to live by in Ecclesiastes. Oh, the person in charge. I'm thinking about even the election. Some of these things are being wrapped up and contested all at the same time. It's really not the person in the office that I look at, but who he surrounds or who she surrounds himself with that give advice. That's the most important thing to me, is who has the ear of the president or the senator or the leader or the assembly person. Who is it that's advising them? To me, that's so important because that really gives direction. Who do they appoint to the cabinet? That really tells you more about the person than the speeches that they give, is what type of people they're putting in as their counselors to help them with what they're trying to do. Solomon gives us so much to learn from. He experienced the highs and the lows. He experienced success and failure. He had the irony of winning and losing all at the same time. And he expresses that time and time again as we look through these pages. So we're going to go verse by verse, and I hope that you'll be challenged and encouraged at the same time with this message before us. The book of Ecclesiastes can be divided into three main parts, and Dr. Charles Ryrie, I enjoy his study Bible. If you're looking for a good study Bible for this new year, the Ryrie study Bible would be a good one. And notice in chapter 1, verse 4, here's one of the propositions, one of the main points. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Time comes and goes, but the earth remains. People come and go. People move away. People die. Life happens, and things go on. This is the way life is. That's what he's saying there. So that's one of the propositions, if you would. Another division or proposition would be chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Life can and should be enjoyed because it's a gift from God. Chapter 3, verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice. He's talking about the days and time on the earth. There's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Yes, life is a gift. Anything good in life is a gift from God as well. And then number 3, in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, life is best when living in obedience to God. Life is best when living in obedience to God. Now, some of you have these verses, or at least one of these verses, memorized here in chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I love the summary. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The next verse goes on to say, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so these are four or three propositions and main sections of Ecclesiastes, big ideas, if you would. But we're going to focus on the first three verses for our message today. And I'd like you to think about this. Life apart from God is empty. And we find little value in life apart from the Lord. Of course, life is best when living in obedience to God. Here's some ideas for you to think about where people from history. Because ambition that is not accompanied by the presence of God and a dedication to the Lord is really living a life of futility. Alexander the Great was not satisfied even when he had completely subdued the nations. He wept. He started to cry. Oh, there's no more worlds to conquer, he said. How about Hannibal? Hannibal, he filled 3 bushels with the gold rings taken from the knights he had slaughtered. He committed suicide by swallowing poison, and very few noted his passing. He left earth completely unmourned. Julius Caesar, staining his garments in the blood of 1 million of his foes, conquered over 800 cities, only to be stabbed to death by his best friends at the scene of one of his greatest triumphs. And then Napoleon, the feared conqueror, being a scourge of Europe, spent his last years in banishment. All of these men had conquered, they had great success, but their end, they sensed and knew and had great failure. Folks, I encourage you, don't wind up at the start, the middle, or the end of life and feel like a failure. Some of you feel like a failure right now, and you feel discouraged and disappointed and maybe depressed, and you don't know what to do. The world's going crazy, and how can I survive? How can I function? And maybe not even the national things and the pandemic things, but just life itself, and you kind of curl up, and what do I do with life? Why am I here? I've got good news. Solomon found the answer. And as he philosophizes, he gives this side of the story and that side of the story, and eventually he'll come to the conclusion that I hope you come to, that life apart from God, it is futile. And how much we need the Lord in daily living. I'd like to give you 3 reasons for godly wisdom, because every one of us need godly wisdom. 3 reasons for godly wisdom. First off, kings and commoners need wisdom. Kings, Solomon, he had people that were counselors, and he even sought the wisdom of God. He said, I'm just like a child. I don't know what's up and what's down, what's left and what's right. Lord, I need some wisdom. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the fame. I don't care about all the success. And just give me some wisdom. And God answered that prayer. We need wisdom in our life. You need wisdom. Kings need wisdom. Our presidents need wisdom. Our governors need wisdom. Our state leaders and local leaders need wisdom. Our church leaders need wisdom. Your school superintendent needs wisdom. You need wisdom as a parent, as a spouse, as a person. Everyone, whether a commoner or a king, needs wisdom. And thus, we find in verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Even the king needed the wisdom of God. And friend, we need the wisdom of God as well. Seek wisdom. If you read Proverbs, the Proverbs is at times wisdom personified. And wisdom says, seek me early. Seek me early. Find wisdom. One challenge this last year to some in our church and some teenagers, and I participated as well, was reading a Proverbs of every day of the month. And I enjoy doing that too. Several times a week, I'll read some Proverbs. And we need God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. Well, I have all this learning. I have all this background. I've read the Bible before. I've been to church a lot in my life. Yes. Well, those things don't matter. We need God's wisdom today. Maybe you haven't had those opportunities. You need God's wisdom today, and I need God's wisdom. So seek wisdom. Read the Bible. Study the Scriptures. Listen to preaching. Listen to teaching. Participate in services like this, even online, in whatever fashion you can. So seek wisdom. Learn wisdom. Listen for wisdom. Again, the preacher implies there had to be an audience, so there were people listening as Solomon was enunciating these sayings here in Ecclesiastes, and so people were listening, and we need to listen to the Scripture as well. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Kings and commoners need wisdom. Number 2, life is empty without God and His wisdom. Oh, how much we need His wisdom, because without His wisdom for living, we find ourselves living empty lives. Notice in verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The word vanity is a word which means vapor or breath. All right, it's cold outside. When you go outside, you take a deep breath and just blow out for a moment. You'll see a little mist, a little vapor, and then it's gone. That is your life. Every time you exhale, you have an illustration of the brevity of life. Every time. That illustrates how short and how vain life can be. 5 times in this verse, he uses the word vanity or vanities or vain. And it's all the same Hebrew word. It's the same word, just in a different tense. Friends, life apart from God is empty. It's empty. It's short. It's like an empty, short breath. There's nothing there. Oh, I'll grab onto that breath. You can't grab it. You can't contain it. You can't grab it and do anything with it. That's what our life is like. Life is empty without God and His wisdom. In fact, he uses that term, vain, vanity, or vanities, at least 38 times in this small book. But notice that word all. He says all is vanity. That means the whole. Everything encompassed. All is vanity. Achievement, success, accolades, wealth, family, accumulation. And we'll identify some more of these things in Solomon's life as we go through verse by verse in our study. This wildly, wildly successful man is coming up empty. I'm afraid in many people's lives, there's great skepticism and antagonism to truth. People are really being hardened to what is right and really embracing what is wrong, but you see a skepticism. Even some Christians have a skepticism about life, and you think about, and I'll just use political things for a moment. You know, the election, if they counted dead people's votes and they were dead for a month before they voted, before the election and before they submitted, you know, things like that, or how did you get more votes, and is there counting issues with the machines, and that creates skepticism. That's just an example. Now, don't keep thinking about that or get carried away with that. But then that creates skepticism. You think about the vaccine. People get skeptical. You think about COVID. People are skeptical. And it's because we have a barrage of information. This is right, and this is wrong. And they are right, and this is wrong. And it goes back and forth, and there's so many ironies and contrasting ideologies in life that it causes us a lot of the time to become very skeptical as people are looking at life, and they have success and yet there's emptiness, and they have stuff and yet they feel like a failure, and they have relationships but they feel like they're alone. That's the type of contrast that Solomon is philosophizing about in Ecclesiastes. And that's what many people have experienced today or will experience one day. And so that's why it's so important for us to study this book and understand life apart from God and His wisdom. It'll feel empty and useless and worthless. You'll feel like, well, I don't even know why I'm here. You hear of young people even saying these things, I don't know why I am here. All the success you can get could cause you to be skeptical if you have that success apart from God, apart from the Lord. I just heard about a 24-year-old man who was a success. He was a student, I think, at Harvard or some prestigious college, but he committed suicide after looking at the pandemic and looking at all these things. I think it was Christmas Day. He even was a humanitarian. He'd give money to causes like providing food and water to people, but he missed the whole point of life, and he had a lot of success just looking from the outside in, and yet he felt like a failure. He felt like life was empty and worthless, and I suspect there's a lot of people like that. We haven't seen quite the wave of people like that because of COVID, because of the restrictions, because of the environment of which we're living in today, political and relational, and just the touchiness of people. I think we'll see some more of that perhaps. And so if you're struggling, if you're like, I don't know why I'm here, I think I'm going to check out, I think I'll kill myself, hey, let's talk. There's help out there. You are worth it. Your life is valuable to God. Solomon had everything, and he came to this conclusion, wow, life apart from God, I'm not finding what I need without the Lord at the center of my life. Well, the Bible tells us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4:14. Kings and commoners need wisdom. Life is empty without God and His wisdom. And number three, working apart from God's wisdom is not gain. Working apart from God's wisdom is not gain. Verse 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? The word profit means advantage. What advantage? What profit? What does a person gain? How does he excel? It's another term for excel. What does he profit if he gets everything the world has to offer, and yet he still feels empty? There's still a void and this like vapor, this brevity of life, and he takes everything under the sun. But what does it get him at the end of life? What good does it do for him? The word taketh means fruits of my labor. So he works hard. He gets everything that he can. Maybe he cans everything that he gets. He keeps it for himself. What does he have at the end of life? Well, he has nothing. He has nothing. Solomon was not only the wisest man, but did you know this? He was also the richest man in ancient times. The richest man in ancient times had tons of money, gold, and they didn't even count the silver. He had so much silver. And yet, he had all this stuff he accumulated. And he says, what profit is it? What profit is it? Jesus said, what profit? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Maybe you've been just going after stuff and things and work. I'm working hard, man. I'm working overtime. I'm working extra time. I'm working in dangerous environments because I need the money and I want it. I want to get it. I'm going to save it up and we're going to buy and we're going to spend. You can live like that, but friend, you can get everything you ever dreamed you wanted and find emptiness. And maybe you're at a point in life where you're like, I don't know. What's of value and what is it worth? I mean, I have this nice house. We got all the cars we need. I have all this stuff and things, but there's still something missing. You need God in your life. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world? I have everything the world has to offer, but I lost my own soul. Paul said in Philippians 3 verses 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, Paul had previously been known as Saul and persecuted the church of God, went out and drug them out to the prisons and helped with the execution of some of those early Christians. And he got a great thrill and excitement. But then he met Jesus and Jesus changed his life and became a preacher of the gospel. And he said, all those things I count as something valuable. But now I realize the most valuable thing I can do is win someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, to see them be born again, to know God through Jesus, his Son. And that changed everything for him. The phrase under the sun, as Ecclesiastes uses it here, is used 29 times, under the sun. Here's one commentator said, if one's thoughts and motives are all under the sun, then indeed everything is vanity. Each believer is exhorted to set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. I'd like for us to go ahead and conclude with that idea. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Now, at the end of our message here, there'll be a slide where you have questions, D&A, discussion and answers. And go ahead and take some time to talk and to, or application rather, and to apply and then to pray. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be forgiven of your sin today. Find your purpose of living a life in Christ to share the gospel with others. Christian friend, be encouraged that you have a purpose. We're still here in this tumultuous time. God has a reason for you being here. It's not to live in fear. It's to live with great faith in that God is greater than all these problems and that we can be used to direct people to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for them to be saved. So what location am I standing in? Did you put a good guess down? Go ahead, real quick, type something in. What location? All right, I'll tell you. I'm at King David's tomb. Years after David died, his son Solomon, who'd already been on the throne right near the end of David's life, Solomon wrote down the words that we're reading right now. The preacher said, I'm going to write some things about life. He'd already seen his earthly father pass away into eternity. He'd been exactly right here, like this man praying. Solomon had been to this exact location where they laid to rest the body of King David. And as we look at Ecclesiastes, we learn the real purpose and meaning in a life of vanity, a life that is like a vapor. I hope that you've been encouraged. I left you with this real challenge here to think about. Life is like a vapor. And friends, a life apart from God will find it's not very useful. It seems vain and empty. But you can have a purposeful and meaningful life. Love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. Thanks for watching. Please take some time to answer the questions and pray with one another. God bless.